Our gospel reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Let us listen to the word of God. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." And then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if you know of Admiral McRaven. He's credited for organizing and overseeing the ambush of Osama bin Laden. You might remember that. A few years ago, he gave this great commencement address that's now on YouTube, and it was to his alma mater. It was to the University of Texas, and he shares 10 lessons from his Navy SEALs training. And it's in his address that part of the goal, I think, as he's sharing this with students who are ready to go out into the world, to inspire these graduates to change the world. It's not rocket science, but these are good little nuggets. And a few of them connect with our gospel lesson that we heard, that the children just heard about them, and I also think it's especially appropriate today as we welcome our new members, as we all seek to be more like Christ. One of Admiral McRaven's training examples is about a circus. This is what he says. "Every event had standards, times you had to meet. If you failed to meet those standards, your name was posted on a list, and at the end of the day, those on the list were invited to a circus. A circus was 2 hours of additional calisthenics designed to wear you down, to break your spirit, to force you to quit. No one wanted a circus. A circus meant that for that day you didn't measure up. A circus meant more fatigue, and more fatigue meant that the following day would be more difficult and more circuses were likely. But at some time during SEAL training, everyone made the circus list. But an interesting thing happened to those who were constantly on the list. Over time, those students who did 2 hours of extra calisthenics got stronger and stronger. The pain of the circuses built inner strength, built physical resiliency. And here's the life lesson he shares to the graduates. Life is filled with circuses. You will fail. You will likely fail often. It will be painful. It will be discouraging. At times, it will test you to your very core. But if you want to change the world, don't be afraid of the circuses. Now, Admiral McRaven's lessons remind me of parables. They provide insight into our scripture reading because Jesus is being challenged again and again by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Ever since he stepped foot into Jerusalem, they've challenged him. And essentially, they're giving him circuses. It says in verse 15, the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said, and yet he takes the circus head on. He answers all their questions, which reminds us there will be times when our faith is questioned, when people will try to trap us. There will be times when we face stress and failure and hardship, and life will give us circuses. In fact, life is filled with failure and disappointments. Jesus and each of us face a lot of circuses in life. and Jesus was tested to his core. Yet there's a benefit of experiencing circuses. Now, I don't believe God desires for us to face adversity or failure. It's simply part of our mortality in a fallen world. Yet our attitude and approach when facing life circuses, that's what matters. We discover that we can't make it on our own. We discover that inner strength and resiliency is actually made more powerful when we recognize our weakness. And when we do that, then we can lean on God for his strength. The next story Admiral McRaven shares is about sharks. This is what he says. During the land warfare phase of training, students are flown out to San Clemente Island, which lies off the coast of San Diego. The waters off San Clemente are a breeding ground for the great white sharks. To pass SEAL training, there are a series of long swims that must be completed. One is the night swim. Before the swim, the instructors joyfully brief the trainees on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you, however, that no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not recently. But you are also taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts toward you, then summons up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. He continues, there are a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. Similarly, Jesus is among sharks. They like to show their teeth to intimidate, asking whether it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor. You see, they know that Jesus is standing up for the poor, the ones who are hurt the most by Rome's taxes. It's a lose-lose, the sharks think. If Jesus says not to pay taxes, they'll put him in jail. If Jesus says to pay taxes, he'll lose favor among the poor. They'll abandon him. Even though the sharks are attacking, Jesus stands his ground. Jesus doesn't buckle under pressure. Instead, when the sharks attack, he gathers all his strength and essentially punches them in the snout. Give to emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Jesus doesn't back down to the sharks. He faces them head on. And do you see what happens in that last verse we read? They leave and they go away. Just like the admiral said about sharks. And therein lies the lesson for us. Scripture has story after story about how we are to stand up for God, and God will give us strength to defeat the sharks of the world, whatever they may be. It's scary. It takes a lot of courage to stand your ground. But the reality is, we never swim alone because God promises to give us strength. In fact, we have one of the strongest things to lean on when facing sharks. It's the church. And beyond the church, it's Jesus. Esther stands up to Haman when the Jews are about to be exterminated. David defeats Goliath when the odds are stacked against him. Paul is in prison, and yet he draws his strength from Christ. Sharks will always be there, and they can be vicious, they can manipulate, they can hurt you. But you need to realize that Christ never backs down to the sharks, and he gives us the strength to face them head on. Now, the last story from Admiral McRaven I'll share is about mud. He says, the ninth week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the mud flats. The mud flats are between San Diego and Tijuana, where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the mud flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive the freezing cold mud, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. Instructors told us we could leave the mud if only 5 men would quit. Just 5 men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. There were still over 8 hours till the sun came up. 8 more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then, one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became 2, and 2 became 3, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. We knew that if one man could rise above the misery, then others could as well. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept on singing, but the singing persisted, and somehow the mud seemed a little warmer. The wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. And then this is the lesson Admiral McRaven shares to the graduates. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope. The power of one person, Washington, Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start singing when you're up to your neck in mud. Now we hear it every week that our church is a people of hope. Christ brings our hope every hour and every day. That's our mission statement. Christ is the one in whom our hope lies. He's changed the world through hope, everlasting and eternal hope. And Christ reminds us that we have that same ability. We can change the world. Remember, if we have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. I don't know if you've ever been stuck in the mud. My guess is most of us have. I remember when Siobhan and I were up to our necks in mud, we were devastated and didn't know what to do, but then someone called us, and she decided to drive to our house to see us. A friend drove an hour on a busy week to be with us, to reassure us, to be physically present when we were hurting and when we felt all alone. I don't know how to explain it, but it was a gift you could never purchase. This one person helped us sing when we were up to our neck in mud. She gave us hope. In our gospel reading, we're only a few days away from Christ's death. And Christ's death is anything other than hopeless. Because when Christ dies, he defeats evil and death and gives all of us life. It's a very song we're called to sing when we're up to our neck in mud. It only takes one voice to start, and then another, and then another. In fact, that's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." We'll start with one voice for the first verse, and then we'll have all the men sing the second. And then all the women will sing the third. And then all of us together will sing the fourth and the fifth verse. In this way, we're recognizing that we're not alone, that one voice can turn to many. We can change the world. Whatever comes our way, whatever circuses or sharks or mud we face, Christ not only gives us strength, but most of all, he gives us hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.